everyone. Welcome into First Take. Thanks for being with us. Just me and my friends here. Stephen A. Smith to my right. It's great to see him. Christopher Mad Dog. You guys just look rich. J.J. Redick. Look at these suits.
Hold on a second.
Look at these suits.
First of all, everybody here looks lovely, but no tie today, man. And there's a particular reason you're not rocking a tie. I mean, it's First Take. I'm just asking.
I normally do wear a tie when Mad Dog is here.
Yeah. Really?
I had to take my kids to school today, so I didn't have time.
See, that's where he gets us. He brings up the kids.
I had to take my kids to school today, man.
Stevie ain't let the kids.
New sport coat?
It's a tight window.
Did he put that together for you?
Yeah, she did.
He did a great job. He did a great job. The blue looks fabulous. All right, guys, let's get into it. We got a lot of sports to cover. This is ESPN, in case you didn't know. Virginia shot just 25% from the field and wasn't competitive for most of a game in a 25-point blowout loss to Colorado State Tuesday night in the NCAA tournament's first four in Dayton, Ohio. Virginia tallied just 14 first half points and went 59 minutes of real time between made field goals. Here's Virginia's coach, Tony Bennett, on their performance.
We've raised the bar really high here. We've qualified for this tournament, which is not an easy thing. We've done well, but it's stung to get to this point and not advance. And so, of course, we've got to keep adding quality players. We got to look at things certainly from a system standpoint, absolutely.
Sometimes life stings. All right, did the committee make a mistake, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, with Virginia?
Absolutely. They were 50-something on the net, and it wasn't like they played Kareem in 68 with UCLA.
Way to get the 60s in early.
State. You knew I'd do that right out of the gate.
Yeah.
It's Colorado State. Let's take it easy. And I'm going to say this right now, and I know this is going to bother people, but I'm going to say it. And I know he won a championship, and he's the nicest guy in the world. Could you make an argument that it might be time for Tony Bennett to go somewhere else? I mean, they're unwatchable. They scored 14 points, Jay, in the first half of this game. They have scored under 50 about 10 times this year. The system is tricky. It's Dick Bennett's system. It's okay in Wisconsin, Green Bay. This is the ACC. They lost in the first round last year. They lose in a play-in game this year. They lost a 116 game. Now, they won a championship, so you can say, Chris, I understand. But they're unentertaining, and they're not that good. I've had enough. And everybody thinks Tony Bennett is basically John Wooden. I've had enough.
No one thinks he's John Wooden, so settle down with that.
Nobody is John Wooden.
Nobody said that.
Nobody is John Wooden.
Okay.
No, I'm not at the point where I think it's time for Tony Bennett to go. What's interesting is, you know, in terms of modern UVA basketball, he's the one guy that has built a sustained level of success. They won a championship. Of course, they then got a one seed and lost to a 16 seed. I think what's interesting is his comment there. It's certainly time to look at the system. They play the most boring brand of basketball.
Can't watch the games.
Defensively, I don't care. They pack line defense.
Yeah.
It's great. Offensively, we gotta change some things up if I'm right. Tony Bennett. And also, I would say this. I would really say this. What we saw last night is not good for college basketball. That 100%. Was a bad product.
100%.
That was a bad product.
Hey, here's what you need to know. The Wagner game against Howard was better than the Virginia game against Colorado State.
Well, let me say this to you. It's not funny. And I take no joy in saying this. But if it were me, I'd fire him. Strictly because of being boring. Literally.
Oh,
I'm not questioning his ability as a coach at all. He's a national champion, for crying out loud. I'm not questioning his ability as a coach. But you cannot be that boring, that unappealing for so long and get away with it. Let me throw this by y'all, right? Because I had this looked up. Virginia scores 14 points in the first half.
Yeah.
They go to final 9:20 of the first half scoreless and the final 10 minutes and 30 seconds of the game without a field goal. So think about that for a second. You go 9 minutes and 20 seconds without scoring anything, a field goal or a free throw. Over one half, and then the second half, you went the final 10 minutes and 30 seconds without a field goal. There isn't a level that I've seen that level of atrocity on offense on a basketball court. I mean, that's just bad. And so, yeah, we got to look at the system. But people have been telling you that for years. The Virginia Cavaliers came into this tournament as the 194th ranked offense in the country. My God. I'm not questioning the man's acumen. I'm not questioning his ability to know basketball. I'm not questioning any of that. He's a champion. But boredom matters. When if you're not appealing at all, That's a reason to go like, look, man, we need more excitement.
What a way to kick off March Madness.
All right.
By the way, Kim English from Providence, right, who I played against, he was in the NBA for a little bit. What a great point he had the other day. His little rant. I loved it. I loved it.
Who do you have before we move on? I didn't know what
she's going to give you the UConn nonsense.
Don't.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
Don't tee me up. I'm just wondering, JJ, who you would have winning it all.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I filled out a bracket yesterday because my son, Knox, is in a bunch of brackets with his teammates. He's, like, got three different ones, so I helped him fill one out yesterday.
Right.
And it just the way things shaked out, he ended up with Creighton as the winner.
So
I was like, all right.
I have Creighton in the Final Four.
Let's go with it.
All right. By the way, this is Colorado State's first tourney win since 2013, so good for them. They'll face Texas on Thursday. To the pros we go. Anthony Edwards, game-tying three-point shot, hit off the rim as time expired, allowing the Nuggets to escape Minnesota with a 115-112 win Tuesday. Denver moves a game ahead of the T-Wolves in the West. The two teams will meet twice more. That's on March 29th and April 10th. The Nuggets now moving second place in the West, just percentage points behind the Thunder. But our ESPN analytics give Oklahoma City a 41% chance to be the one seed, and it has Denver with the hardest remaining schedule in the league. Interesting. Is last night more about Denver or Minnesota, Stephen A?
I think it was more about Minnesota, simply because without Karl Anthony Towns playing the second game of a back-to-back, they came out on that floor and they fought against the reigning defending NBA champions led by the best player in basketball, Nikola Jokic. That's the way I look at it. It's just that simple to me. And so when you come into a game, we started off the show yesterday. We were talking about Anthony Edwards and what he was going to, what he's capable of delivering. We were all singing his praises or what have you. He shows up on the court last night. How does he start the game off? Playing center, you know, for the jump ball or stuff like that. You just see a guy, as JJ pointed out accurately yesterday, that just gets it. It's not just about his youth. It's not just about his ability as a player. It's that youthful enthusiasm that comes along with it, him wanting to be out on the court, him wanting to perform, him sensing the fact that he's the marquee and, I'm going to answer the call, and then going out there and going at the Denver Nuggets the way that he did. The Denver Nuggets is just an elite team. They're champions for a reason. Jokic is just something special to behold. His back-to-back threes, obviously, you just look at him, you just throw up your hands like, this guy is sensational. He really, really is. But Anthony Edwards finishing with 38-8. I didn't like the way Minnesota was jacking up threes in the fourth quarter, JJ. Too many threes, weren't really trying to get to the basket, wasn't making them because they just seemed flat at that particular moment in time. But I can't say enough about Anthony Edwards from a personality standpoint, his willingness to embrace the challenge, the moment, the hype and hoopla that comes along with it. That's what I walked away thinking about. And remember, they play each other again, I think, two more
March
times.
March 29th, April 10th.
Exactly. So they play each other two more times. They're already one-on-one on with the season. And come playoff time, Karl Anthony Towns will be back. And based on what we saw last night, if they were to meet, it seems like it would be a highly competitive series, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah, for me, this was more about the Nuggets. And I'll say this. As a player for 15 years and as now a fan who watches basketball every night, how many times have we seen a fully loaded team, a very good team, go against an undermanned team, and that undermanned team outperforms expectations? Like, this is an opportunity for each guy. Luke Garza getting big minutes, right? This is an opportunity. Nikhil Alexander-Walker getting to play a bigger role. The Denver Nuggets right now, to me, are in championship form.
I agree.
Coach Michael Malone talked about this text message that Nikola Jokic sent over All-Star break. Hey, guys, we got to come back from break with the proper focus. They're 12-2 since the break. Mm-hmm. Them, along with Boston, have looked like the class of the NBA since the All-Star break. Michael Porter Jr., the way he's played, the way he closed last night, that's what it's about to me.
Absolutely.
Having that guy that you can rely on. He is averaging over 20 a game since the All-Star break, shooting over 40% from three. And the interesting thing about last night.
63% of clutch time this year.
There you go. Yeah. The interesting thing about last night to me was this notion that we can beat the Nuggets if we make Jokic a score. He had two assists last night. Only time he's had that few of an assist was back in November against the Houston Rockets. He feels the game. He reads the game. They start the game last night with Kyle Anderson on him. What does he do? He plays aggressive. He's got Luke Garza on him. What does he do? He plays aggressive. He feels the game and he reads the game to perfection almost every time.
I love him. He's great. And I'll tell you, I do understand your point about Denver. I think that team is going to win a championship again. And this is an interesting little rivalry because Minnesota played Denver very well last year. Yep. They were down 3-0. They won the fourth game, and they lost to game five in overtime. Did you do that game in overtime in Denver? That was a great game. They almost won. They almost forced the game six in that series.
I did game three
you
of
did
that
game
series.
Three. Right, okay. Three but I know you did
Minnesota.
A game
there. Yep.
But Minnesota's played Denver pretty well. I got to give Minnesota a little break. They have the teams out, so I'm not going to make too big a deal about that. But I'm generally with you. Denver continues to beat the Celtics twice. They won in L.A. when LeBron had the 40,000th point earlier in the year on a Saturday night. A lot of hoopla. They beat the Warriors behind in Golden State. That team is a tough team, and I think they're going to win the whole thing.
I want to say this. I'm still not sold. I'm not giving up on Boston. I still think Boston. I think Boston and Denver appear to be on a collision course, and I think that Boston, that's the finals we should have had last year, Boston against Denver. I thought it would have been a better matchup in the NBA Finals. I think definitely it would be an ideal matchup right then because second, in terms of offensive efficiency, Denver's second only to Boston right now at this particular moment in time. Last night, Porter, Jokic, 22 points in the fourth quarter, 7-for-7 shooting, didn't miss a shot. Porter, if he's playing that way, that's the only time I look at Denver and I say, no one has a chance. I've been thinking Boston, Boston, Boston. But if Porter plays that way and he's more assertive, more aggressive, because you see him at times in the past, correct me if I'm wrong, being a bit more deferential to obviously Jokic and Jamal Murray. If this dude is aggressive and efficient like we've seen him, I don't think anybody could beat him. I just don't see that happening.
He's figured out his role.
Yeah.
And he's embraced his role. Mm-hmm. And so he has now, he's now comfortable with where his shots are going to be and when his shots are coming. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing, especially for a younger guy who at one point was averaging over 20 mm-hmm. points a game before mm-hmm. he got hurt. He has now just completely embraced this role of being the third
but
option.
I think we could say that. I think that's what makes Denver so great. And you got to give Coach Malone so much credit. Because I think
all
you could
five
say,
of their starters.
All of them accept their role. They play their position. You know, you don't see anybody clamoring to step on toes and to be more than what they're supposed to be. It's like everybody has clearly defined roles. They fully accept it. And there's no problem, no drama whatsoever. Denver deserves a lot of credit for that.
And 26 points for him on the road. You know, that third score, I'd like to see how he does on the road.
Yeah. There you go.
He's played well. I don't know how he's done all year on the road, but that's a big performance last night.
If they met in the finals, how do you think that series, excuse me, in the playoffs, how do you think that series would
talk about Minnesota, Denver?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do I think it would play out?
Yeah.
Well, some of it would depend on how those teams are playing two or three months from now, right? It's a different thing. Yeah. And obviously, Denver is 2-0 this year against the Celtics. Both those games have been top-notch, like as
Last
good
shot.
As it gets in the regular
Last
season.
Yep.
And both those teams, to me, approach those games like they were statement playoff games.
I will say this. When I think about Minnesota and against Denver, what we saw last night is a sign of things to come. Close, but no cigar. You can't shoot 34%. From three-point range, if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves jacking up as many threes as you jacked up, particularly in the fourth quarter, and you're not making them. You got to be able to make them. I'm looking at Denver last night, 52% from shooting from three-point range. They're going to make shots. We know they're going to make shots because of Jokic, because of Murray, because of Porter. And obviously, let's not leave out the guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and other guys. Like that. You can't leave them out. They know how to make shots. If you're Minnesota, you do find yourself at times looking at them and saying, damn, I'm celebrating Anthony Edwards. It's something special to behold. But in the same breath, guys, are you going to make shots when it counts?
Where's Denver's advantage besides that guy right over there, number 15? Where's their advantage? Their advantage is positional size.
Okay.
That's their advantage.
Right.
They want to score the basketball in the paint. They're not a high-volume three-point shooting team. Right. You ask any of their guys last year, what was the toughest series they had? Almost Minnesota. All of them said Minnesota,
yeah.
to Mad Dog's point.
Gobert,
you think about
Gobert.
That series, no Naz Reid,
right.
No Jaden McDaniels, who's
right.
their best wing defender.
Right.
I wouldn't go as far. This is a preview of things to come, because I do think if these teams met, particularly as they're seated right now in the second round, if everybody's healthy, if Kat's back, healthy, in a rhythm,
right.
this is going to be a tough series.
But I get what you're saying. You're talking about how problematic they're going to be because of their size and their defense, and obviously Denver doesn't have to face that against most teams in the NBA. I get that part. What I'm countering is that Denver is gifted and skilled enough to put you in a position where you're going to need to make shots when it counts.
Yeah.
That's my question mark about Minnesota.
Yeah.
Final
fair.
Word.
That's fair.
I think Denver will be in a conference final in the second round. Here's the thing about Minnesota, Jay, Stevie.
Yeah.
They're not going to be the one seed. Let's say Oklahoma City and the Nuggets outplay them and they don't get the one seed because of injuries and everything else.
So about Denver or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Got it.
Will Minnesota in a first-round playoff series beat Phoenix? As an example, because they're going to have a tough first round. Will Phoenix, Minnesota, T-Wolves home court? You know Denver will get advance. Will Phoenix get out of a first round? Because those bottom teams are tough.
It's a legitimate question.
It's a legit question. I also think that's a nice preview of some things to come on the show.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
very good.
Okay. Look at you knowing the rundown. All right. We'll keep it rolling
well, somebody
here.
Somebody has to know it.
Don't look at me like that. Don't you even look at me. The Dallas Cowboys have made a contract move on Dak Prescott, although it's a minor one. The team has converted a $5 million roster bonus due Prescott into a signing bonus in order to create cap space. The space added is $4 million, which will help the Cowboys finalize their recent minor deals.
They were committed to keeping him. To me, they would have done it already, and they haven't. So now I think it's fair to wonder what is their thinking, what direction are they going? You got Dak in the last year of his contract, Mike McCarthy in the last year of his contract, Mike Zimmer in the last year of his contract, and I know every one of these opportunities is precious for Jerry Jones, but the fact of the matter is you just wonder, is this the kind of season we give everybody 1 year, turn up the pressure on everybody, see how they respond, and then address it in the appropriate way after the year? Because that's the way it certainly looks right now.
Adam Schefter with more context. There he is, my guy, Dan Orlovsky.
What's up?
Straight from Bristol, straight from those Bristol streets. Great to see you, sir. Dan, tell me this. Do you feel like it's time for Dallas to move on from Dak?
Yeah, I mean, I said I would have the day after they got absolutely smoked at home in the playoff game from Green Bay. I had said I would blow the whole thing up and start over again, both at quarterback and at head coach in Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott. You know, when you hear Adam Schefter talk about that and the wondering of, okay, so Dak on the last year of his contract and Mike McCarthy in the last year of his contract, here's the reality in Dallas. There are going to be Super Bowl expectations without Super Bowl support. That because you can say the truth of those guys are going into the last years of their contracts. They're also going into the last years of their contracts with a, hey, you have to go win a divisional round or get to the NFC Championship game or you're getting fired without the necessary means to go do so, if we're being honest. And those two guys, Dak being the main of it, will get blamed. They're down five starters. Mm-hmm. They can't afford new people because of the money that Dak is making at $60 million and obviously the need to pay a CeeDee Lamb and a Micah Parsons. And they don't have enough draft capital to replace those five starters. So there's going to be this expectation to go get result, but they don't have the support roster-wise to actually go do that. And that's why I had said, like, the Cowboys are content with being good. They're content with, I guess, a little bit above average or mediocrity. And I would have moved on from both McCarthy and Dak Prescott after that Green Bay game.
Well, you're wrong. I'm not surprised. You know, I would say this to you. When it comes to Mike McCarthy, I've been on the record, Doggy. I've said, listen, they should have gotten rid of McCarthy. Not that he deserved to be fired, quote unquote, you know, with three consecutive 12-5 seasons. It's that you're not Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick was available. And I think the combination of Jerry Jones and, you know, his attachment and addiction to the camera and the talking, you juxtapose that to Bill Belichick, who has no desire to do that whatsoever. And to hone in on getting those players locked in and focused on what they're supposed to be focused on instead of all the ancillary things on the outside, I think that that would have been a perfect match. And I think that Jerry Jones dropped the ball in not going there and getting Bill Belichick and saying, damn it, I need a championship. Time's running out for me on my own mortality. This is what Jerry Jones is saying. I'm not joking about that. He talks about this kind of stuff. So because of that, I would have went out and I would have gotten Bill Belichick. But to get rid of Dak Prescott, let's pump the brakes. I know that I can be critical of them because of the nauseating, disgusting fan base that is the Dallas Cowboy fan base. I love trolling them, no question about it. But in all seriousness, D.O., And Doggy, here's the deal. Dak Prescott, 8 seasons, 6 winning seasons, 4 NFC East titles, 3 Pro Bowl selections, just 2 playoff victories, 2 and 5 record. I get all of that, but I'm looking at him. You go from leading the league in interceptions in 2022 to leading the league in touchdown passes in 2023 with 36. He didn't have an awful season. He had an awful game.
Great season.
No doubt about it. He had a great season. And so I'm looking at it from that perspective, and I'm saying to myself, okay, if I get rid of him, who am I going to get in return for him? Who's the answer? You have to think like that.
No.
You have to think like that, DL, because the point is somebody has to play quarterback. Somebody. So I have no choice but to look at you if I'm talking about getting rid of you and to entertain who I'm going to get to replace you. I have no choice but to do that, okay, by virtue of the fact that somebody else has to play the damn position. So all of those things getting taken into consideration, along with the fact that I got to entertain playing Micah Parsons now. I definitely got to pay CeeDee Lamb now. You're talking about Dak Prescott and his cap hit, by the way, acting like it's a big deal. Still $55.4 million cap hit, okay? All right, the bottom line is there's only Deshaun Watson in the National Football League has a higher cap hit next season. I'm looking at all of those things, and I'm saying, okay, Dak Prescott can ball. I do know that. I'm not going to get rid of him when I don't have a definitive answer. If there was a quarterback out there that was better than Dak Prescott, hell, the Pittsburgh Steelers wouldn't be celebrating having Russell Wilson and Justin Fields so badly.
I agree with you 100%. Danny, I disagree with you here. This is what I agree with. Belichick should have been coaching.
That's right.
But they have no choice with Prescott. Is he making too much money? Absolutely.
Yes.
But that's what the quarterback makes. You're going to have to live with it. Look at Cousins in Atlanta. And the one thing about the 5 starters, it's not Mean Joe Green, Mel Blunt, Jack Lambert, Bradshaw,
Lambert, Ham,
John Bon Jovi. What's the receiver's name?
What do you mean, Stallworth, Swan?
No, John Stallworth. All I mean, geez, how do I forget that? That's terrible.
Yeah,
John. But I mean, it's not the 5 guys. It's Tony Pollard. Let's take it easy. I mean, it's not Franco. So it's not like they lost guys that are irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. And I think the key thing here is Jerry's age. He's 82 years of age. He wants to win a Super Bowl. Was he going to get rid of Prescott? And as you said, who's going to be his quarterback? He's going to draft one and wait 5 years? He's 82 years old. It's not going to be around forever.
Draft one and wait 5 years.
Well, I mean, again, you got to wait a couple years. Who are you going to get to play the position? You get a rookie, you got to give him a couple years before you realize you can win. And he's 82. He's not 60. He's 82 years old.
That's not true. I mean, we watched that last year with Houston. I understand that C.J. Strouds don't fall off trees. But here's my pushback. You might not think that those are important parts, Mad Dog, but, like, they don't have a left tackle right now. And not only do they not have a left tackle.
They don't have a running back.
So they may not be Jack Tatum, but these are starting meaningful players in the league. They don't have a left tackle. They don't have a center. They don't have a tailback. They don't have inside linebacker. They just lost Hankins yesterday. They don't have a run-stopping defensive tackle.
Van Der Esch.
They don't have – so it's Van Der Esch just retired.
Yeah.
So you're sitting here going, well, how am I going to replace him or who am I going to replace him with? Well, you figure out what you're going to get for him. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, well, you give Dak Prescott away. But if the Dallas Cowboys really wanted to go win a Super Bowl after that Green Bay game, maybe you find a trade partner that gives you 2 first-round picks, and then you got ammunition to go get something.
But, D.O., this is the quarterback position. So what I'm saying to you is that if you've got a quarterback lined up and you need a plethora of positions filled based off of all the bodies that you just highlighted, that's a different argument. But in order to lose Dak Prescott, you have to have another quarterback that can come in and fit the goods. And you don't have that right now as far as I can tell. That's number one. Number two, look, I'm looking at Dak Prescott right now. He's counted. Do y'all know he's counting 21.3% against Dallas's cap next season?
Yeah.
It's too much.
21. It's entirely too
much.
They're handcuffed. I get that. And they're handcuffed. But because they're handcuffed, okay, how much can you do? You could talk about going out there and getting something for them, but if it's not a quarterback, it's not going to get you anywhere. I'm looking at their running back spot right now. Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, Malik Davis. I don't know these people. I don't know these people. So basically, you have no names at the running back spot. I'm not saying they're scrubs. I just don't know them.
You're justifying my point, Stephen A.
And I don't believe I am. I'm saying that you have to. I'm saying that based off of what we're highlighting, you're going to need production from the quarterback position even more. And you can't let go of Dak Prescott on a maybe. That's what I'm saying.
I don't love him either, Danny. I don't love him either. I don't know if he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I don't disagree with that.
I know he's not.
He's not.
He hasn't even been in an NFC Championship game.
We agree with that principle. Yeah. But there's nobody else. Pittsburgh had to get Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Atlanta had to pay a fortune for
Cousins. It's the NFL. There's always somebody else. There's nobody else on March 19th. There's nobody else on March 19th, but there could have been somebody else early January.
Not as good as Prescott.
And again, I know.
Who?
I know that Dak has a no, but Mad Dog, these are all hypotheticals. He's got a no trade clause, but you don't know what could happen if there's a no trade clause and he waives it to go to this certain team or this certain organization. Maybe Baker Mayfield would have been in the conversation. Maybe Kirk Cousins would have been in the conversation.
Molly
maybe
has
been
to go,
picks.
Bro. You're talking. Molly has to go. Bottom line is this. You lost me when you sat up there and said there's always somebody else. You know what I mean? At the quarterback spot?
All right.
That is a ridiculous statement. Okay. Ridiculous. Go ahead,
Molly. I don't know these people.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's time for a quick take, JJ. What'd you think of Zion Williamson's, wait for it, monstrous alley-oop in the Pelicans' 104-91 win over the Nets last night?
Well, I have to say that it definitely produced a sudden sense of thrilling excitement for me.
Wow.
Yesterday, we talked about the most electric player in the NBA, and I mentioned Zion.
Yeah.
The thing that's so impressive right now for him, he looks in shape. We've talked about he's lost weight. His conditioning is great. He's averaging 30 a game over his last five. The Pelicans are coming, and we've got an iconic photo to go with this lob dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, that is insane.
Wow, that's a good shot.
That's the Zion Williamson coming out of Duke
that we all
expected. He's here right now.
Yes, he is. Finally. It's what we've been waiting for, and because of that, New Orleans can challenge for the Western
Conference. I don't disagree. They're dangerous. They can score. They're dangerous. I agree.
Yeah. Good for Zion.
Did you play with him, by the way?
I did.
Yeah, the one first.
2 years.
Two years. I thought you did.
We ran a lot of inverted pick and roll.
I know exactly what we're doing. I'm letting you speak, Mad Dog.
You got the. I just make sure you got the rundown.
People don't know what it's like dealing with all these alphas. Like, I need some grace here. It's going to be good tonight.
What
the
do you Bucks think it's like dealing
Boston
with you?
To face the Celtics. Our analytics give a 34%. I can take a vacation. 34%
Please.
Chance that the Bucks and Celtics meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. By far, the most likely conference finals matchup. Jason Tatum is only 26 years old, but he's reached the Eastern Conference Finals four times, an NBA Finals once, and his 24 30-point playoff games are the third most in Celtics history behind Larry Bird and John Havlicek. So, Chris, let me ask you this. Has Tatum received too much criticism? considering he's only 26 years old.
And he's weird, you know. And how about that game a couple years ago that he had the, what did he have?
46.
In Milwaukee in game six. Last year he did nothing, and then in game six in Philly he had a great finish. They won the game, and then they, of course, beat them in game seven.
How many did he have in game seven?
Oh, they killed him in the game.
He did a lot. He did a lot of points.
But they killed him. I mean, Philly was so bad. The other thing is, Milwaukee is going to play the Celtics in the conference final, unless you think Cleveland's going to beat Milwaukee. Because Milwaukee's going to be a two or a three seed, because they're three games ahead up on the five and the four. So Milwaukee, unless you think Cleveland's going to beat them, Milwaukee's going to be in the conference final, and we all think the Celtics are going to be in the conference final. So that percentage should be more than 34%. I'll let you guys wrangle over that. Here's the thing about Tatum. Okay, if you look at the top 10 players in the league right now, and I was doing this the other day, top 10 in the league, where would you put Tatum? About 8, 7? Top 10.
So one of the top 10 players in the game?
Well, he is one of the top 10, but what number would he be?
I got to think about it, but it certainly wouldn't be as low as 8.
Yes, it would.
I don't think so.
Well, let's go through him.
Okay, let's do it.
Jokic.
I love doing this exercise.
It's fun. I love it.
We did it last year with Jaylen Brown. You got to like 23.
Oh, I'm down on him. Yeah, I know. I'm not down on him. He's not as good as Jokic. We would agree with that, correct?
Okay.
He's not as good as LeBron. We would agree with that.
At this point?
Yeah, you got even now. In a big game. Oh, in a big series. You're taking LeBron or you're taking big series?
Well, listen.
I'm not talking about 82 games. I'm talking about a big series.
Well, I'm talking 82 games.
Your life on the line.
I'm talking 82 games because that does matter. That does matter.
You get reputation in the postseason.
You're taking LeBron James.
Seven game series right now. My life is on the line. Would I rather have LeBron or Tatum? I'm taking LeBron.
I'll go with LeBron because of experience.
Okay.
I can't dismiss that, but I love Tatum's chances. I think you're dismissing him.
All right. In a seven game series, you're taking Leonard or you're taking him? Leonard's healthy.
Kawhi Leonard. You can't say that if Leonard's healthy when he never is.
Durant or him? Durant, don't even hesitate. JJ, that's four. I gave you four right off the bat. Without even thinking, without even giving it too much thought. Right. Embiid or Tatum?
I'm going with Embiid.
That's fine.
Question.
Okay. So I haven't even thought about this. Curry or Tatum?
Yeah.
Six. So before you even dig into it, he's no better than seven.
But this isn't easy. These aren't easy. It's not. These aren't no-brainers.
But I have a question then. If you're saying that he's not a top five player.
He's not top five. Is he better than Giannis? He's not better than
Then Giannis. Why is he being criticized like a top five player?
Well, that's a fair argument.
That's
fair. Because he's getting the money.
That's fair.
That's a fair point, though.
No, it's not about the money.
It's not about the money. Mad dog.
No.
This isn't the
1990s,
respect. Buddy.
All right. Jaylen Brown, the second best player, is getting $304 million.
Which is ridiculous.
Okay. Well, it's today's market.
$60 million.
It's all about what the market bears.
Is he better than Giannis?
Yes, it's
well,
all
I,
about
you know that very well. If anybody knows about market, what it bears.
Listen, Mad Dog, I'm not here to debate who's better between Tatum or any player.
There's about eight, nine players better than he is, correct?
He's a top 10-ish player.
Top 10-ish player.
Yes. Okay. That's easy. He's also been first-team All-NBA the last 2 years. Here's the thing. I actually think, whether you want to call it criticism or not, I think the analysis around him not winning an NBA championship to this point, I think it's fair. And I think it's natural. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because of the early success. Most high lottery picks that are a number three pick don't walk onto a team that then makes a conference finals their rookie year. Most of the time, there's this growth process. Everybody's really excited about this guy. And then by year four or five, when they've had a little bit of playoff success, we start with the criticism of not winning the big one. Jason Tatum has known nothing but playoffs, nothing but deep playoff runs for the 6 years. And so the criticism is fair because that's what we do for every player. Luka Doncic makes a conference finals in 2022. Everybody was so bullish on Luka. It wasn't until last year when Dallas struggled after the trade. They don't even make the play-in. All of a sudden, the chatter starts with Luka. This is the natural progression for most players. Jason Tatum had earlier success than most players because of the way that Boston Celtics stockpiled those draft picks. He joined a team that was already pretty good. They get Kyrie Irving. He doesn't play in the playoff years in 2018. They lose in the second round in 2019, mm-hmm. right? They go back 2020, 2022, 2023. Okay, I get it. I get the criticism. I think it's fair. It's fair and it's natural for how we talk about the best players in the world.
Why do you say fair and natural but seem so unhappy when you
yeah,
say that?
Yeah, you
do.
Seem angry about it.
I'm not.
You seem
not.
Unhappy about it. You say it's fair. I do. I give it to you. You say it's fair. But you seem unhappy about what you acknowledge is fair.
My natural state of being is one of an elevated level of expression.
I got it. Okay, all right, fine.
Your whole life?
Good question.
Here's you should see me in a locker room, Stephen.
Oh, Lord, I have it. Yeah, trust me, I know. But let me say this to you. Jason Tatum right now, Dougie, this status for you. He's on track to join Larry Bird as the only players in Celtics history to average at least 25 points per game in four consecutive years. Here's where the fair criticism comes in. Larry Bird in that span won 3 NBA titles and 3 league MVPs. You, Jason Tatum, you have neither in either category. So, of course, people are going to look at it. I look at the fact that he's young. As young as he is, he's been to the conference finals at least four or five times, been to an NBA finals. I think what's knocking him, what's being held against him, was his performance in that NBA Finals against Golden State. He wasn't even the second best player on the court. It was Steph Curry. It was Jaylen Brown in some people's eyes. Obviously, you look at it, so I think Andrew Wiggins, you can sit up there and say he was fourth because Jason Tatum didn't have that great of a series. I believe in this kid. And I believe that ultimately he's knocking on the door and ultimately he's going to kick it down. That's what I believe. That's my personal opinion. To get to your point about the fairness of the criticism, I think it's important to let our audience know part of what the reason why that criticism. Yeah, you got the fans, and the fans are going to be who they are. But there's old school dudes that starred in the league that were predecessors, and they religiously bring up to people like myself and others, same standard, don't change the standard. The same way you would hold us accountable, make sure you hold others accountable. So when LeBron hadn't won, you know, in his first 7 to 8 years or so, they would ask that question. When Jordan had it, when they would ask that question. You know, the list goes on and on throughout history. People look at that and they say, okay, the standard is the standard, as they say. The same way you have the fans, the same way you have the media and everybody else holding folks accountable, even though the game has evolved and changed, as you've highlighted on many occasions, they do remind you of that because they're talking about the mental, the pressure. Now, it's not that it's easy, but it's significantly easier in the eyes of a lot of people if you go out there and you're performing without the cynics, without that quote-unquote pressure. If they had to deal with it, they want to make sure you have to deal with it too to see if you can answer the call like they had to. It's a story that doesn't get told enough, but it really, really is true in terms of people in my position and others in the business where you've got folks who are Hall of Famers that are champions that were like, remember how y'all
final
held
word,
us
guys.
Today?
Yeah. You know,
final word.
Okay, I'll get in quick. Fair. I said fair and natural. I should have used the word normal because it is normal when there's expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was referencing with Luka coming off those conference finals. Yep. When there's expectations with the best player on one of the best teams, this is what exists, yep. right? What bothers me at times is this idea that he hasn't been clutch or been great in big moments. You referenced Game 6.
That's not true.
Game 6 against the Bucks. Yeah. Game 6 last year in fourth quarter of the Philly. Game 7 against Philly. He's 13, in the last two postseasons, he's 13 of 27 in clutch time, yep. 5 of 11 from 3. This guy's had a ton of big moments in his career.
Yes.
A ton of big moments in his career.
I totally agree. But I believe in Jason Tatum.
But he's had the moments. Has he had a postseason or a series with championships on the line where you say, there's the best player in basketball.
You might say that, Doggy. All I would say to you is this. All I would say to you is this. You down 3-2 in Milwaukee.
Game 6
in Milwaukee.
I don't disagree.
To perform the way that he performed. I mean, it's about moments more so than it's. I've seen plenty of dudes that average 30 in a postseason, and you didn't see them in the last 2 minutes closing the deal.
Riveting conversation, but I got some business to take care of. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The Dodgers and Padres with the first regular season game this morning in South Korea. The Dodgers tied and broke it open in the eighth inning, which featured Shohei Ohtani's first RBI in a Dodger uniform. And here she is. It is great to be joined by my girl, Jessica Mendoza. You know, I'm always so happy to see you.
Great.
We're
going to
talk
you.
A little baseball. Yes, Mad Dog's fired up about that. Might sneak in Stephen A's Yanks. Tell me this, Jess, do you trust this loaded Dodgers team to win the World Series?
Trust, that's a big word right there.
It's a big word. It's a big word for all of us.
Yeah, this is a team that, I mean, they've been one of the best teams in baseball, and honestly, they should have been to the World Series and won one by now. You think the last decade and what they've done, and then they went out this offseason and did everything. So yes, if they can't do it now, I don't see how any team buying and spending over $1 billion to already add to how talented they already were.
Does that mean Dave Roberts is on a hot seat?
He's always on the hot seat. I mean, every year.
But is it hotter now than it's ever been, considering the money they went out and spent and the personnel they got?
It's more Andrew Friedman than Dave Roberts. You got to understand the role of manager now is such a different thing. I mean, for him to be on the hot seat, it's when you're taking pitchers out and how you're manipulating within the game. But to me, it's how the team is structured when you talk about chemistry and talent. And that comes from the front office. That's who's on the hot seat now more than ever.
I think you have a better chance to win a championship, and baseball is postseason, it's a crapshoot. I think you have a better chance to win a championship when you go under the radar. Who thought Texas last year was going to win the title? They won 10 straight road games. Atlanta, nobody thought Atlanta was going to beat the Dodgers a couple years ago when they did that and they beat Houston. I think you're better off coming out of nowhere to win than if you start the postseason with the onus on your back. And the Dodgers, I don't care if they win 140 games. Nobody cares. Their season's going to start October 3rd. Can they win 11? And it is 11, not 10. Mm-hmm. 11. Can they win 11? Ohtani's never done that. You know, Freeman and Betts have, but not for L.A. I mean, it's a lot of issues. So I would say it is do or die, and I don't think they will.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest challenge to the Dodgers?
The Braves, 100%. I mean, they are ridiculously talented. They led the season every offensive category last year. Then they went and got Chris Sale. They got Jared Kelenic. A lot of people don't know who he is. I think he's going to do so much better in Atlanta. I also like the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, we'll get into this, but to me, you just said it perfect. Like, talk about under the radar, those baby birds. Like, no one's talking about Baltimore. They're still talking about your Yanks. They're still talking about so many teams east.
Yeah.
But those baby birds, with all the talent they've got coming up, that's the team who I think is going to challenge them the most.
Jess, we love pressure on this show. Which player do you think has the most pressure entering the season?
Yoshinobu Yamamoto. $325 million. There's never been a contract like that for a starting pitcher. Everyone's like, who's this guy? He came from Japan too. Everyone's talking Shohei Ohtani. But Yoshinobu Yamamoto will get the start tomorrow in Korea, and there is so much pressure, so many eyeballs on him because Shohei ain't pitching. Mm-hmm. They got Ohtani, but he's not throwing this year. Yes, they have Tyler Glass now, but who is this guy going to be as the highest paid? I mean, we're talking historic numbers for him to be able to produce on the mound.
Why do the Angels even exist? I mean, they lost Shohei Ohtani. Mike Trout is there. They can't do anything in the postseason. They've been irrelevant for years, and now your guy goes and he goes to the main team in town, okay, right, I'm saying, right up the road. I'm just looking at it. Why do they even exist right now? Why should anybody watch the Angels?
That's a fair point. Now, they got a new manager in Ron Washington. Trout says he wants to win with the Angels. Here's the one thing. They won't have any distractions this year. It's just about baseball. Pressure's off because Ohtani's not there. Maybe it helps him. As far as the pressure is concerned, I think Stanton does. He's made a fortune. He's lost a lot of weight. New York City. Now, he's got Judge and Soto, but Stanton can't hit 180 this year. I think Stanton for the Yankees has got some pressure on him.
And
have
Carlos
a good
Rodon.
Year.
I mean, if you're sticking with the Yankees.
That's a good point. That's
Garrett Cole
good job.
Starting
yes.
season.
I should have thought of that.
No.
Better.
Rodon, to me,
yes.
has more pressure because Garrett Cole
right.
being injured to start the season. Their starting rotation was really the weakest link. The lineup I'm not as worried about because of Juan Soto. Alex Verdugo makes them better in the outfield. There is pressure on Stanton, but to me,
I'm Jessica's right.
Well, to me, that matters because if I'm Soto, I want to see production around me to entice me to want to.
Oh, that's true too.
Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah. No, it's, I mean, the Yankees are going to win more games this year. I mean, that to
more
me
more than 91 and a half games.
Yes.
Okay.
They got better. I mean, they got better. They got Marcus Stroman. I mean, they added to that rotation. They also got more athletic. I mean, that is the thing. You guys, Aaron Judge was their offense, and when they were hurt, they did not win games. 99 of his home runs, he's hit 99. 64 have been solo shots. Are you kidding me? Like, no one's getting on base for that guy.
Let me go to that because you just brought up they're more athletic. You usually don't care to hear something like that when it comes to baseball in the past. But because of so many
stolen
things
bases.
That have been modified in the game, you have more stolen bases, more RBIs.
Yeah.
More, you know, I'm looking at it from that standpoint, and I'm saying the game is changing and evolving in such a way. I think baseball is becoming more attractive than in recent memory.
I agree.
Not less. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I'm an outfielder, you guys. So the fact that we used to throw hitters out there and they couldn't even, like, get to a ball, track a ball, they were just out there because they could hit, like, that's where I get excited about the Yankees, because instead of just having hitters, they have Juan Soto, they've got Alex Verdugo. Like, yes, they're stealing bases, but, like, you're talking baseball as far as, like, moving, showing athleticism, and there is nothing more beautiful. When we're watching SportsCenter, what are we seeing? We're seeing outfield highlights. The Yankees haven't had them for a decade.
It's true.
Now they're going to get them.
I like the Yankees over 91 and a half, too, although I am worried about these injuries. LeMahieu's now hurt. Here's the one I love with the over. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You and I will play it together.
Let's go.
Better than
the
Wizards from a couple years ago.
How about that?
The Orioles, they're 89 and a half. Last year they won 101, and they added Corbin Burns. How do they drop 12 games?
Ouch.
I don't understand that.
And they've got the number one overall pick. You guys remember
Fat Rob had your eye on that one?
Yeah, we have the Orioles.
You got your eye on that.
I have the Orioles.
Jackson Holliday's coming
about,
up.
Fat
that's
Rob's
about,
his betting guy,
about,
in case you didn't know.
That's
okay,
about
Fat
people
Rob.
Believing in folks like
the way,
Yankees
used to be a
in Boston
at the Vatican.
And thinking
this
that ultimately
story.
Will have a detrimental effect on the Orioles.
Yeah, that's right.
This is all a discussion for a different time. Jess will have that. I was just telling her about your little friendship.
By the way, he's got a bonus.
Yeah.
Somebody get on there.
Can you give him a
yeah. Well, he's got to get it in the strike zone.
How about that?
How about we start with the right equipment? Let's just get, like, the right.
Panicked.
Let's get the right
shoes.
I just panicked.
You got to be straight. You got to be a man about it.
Okay.
I sat up there with my dumb self, and I said, you know what? Please. I'm outside the Yankee dugout. I'm throwing 60 feet, 6 inches. I'm throwing strikes. Everything is good. I went up on that hill. I'd never been on a Major League Baseball mound. And I looked at it. I said, oh, my God. What have I done? And I had on Christian Louboutin sneakers, these red bottom joints. I'm sitting there. I had to make a business decision.
Thing.
I'm not
it's
busting my
thing.
Butt on national television. I panicked.
It's a real
but
thing.
But he's going to do it again.
It's a straight choke job, but I'm going to do it again.
And he's going to redeem himself.
Don't
happening.
Worry about it.
This summer.
Yankees told me they're going to call me back.
Can we please like play some catch and like have
yes.
can I like
yes.
be your
yes.
like
yes.
what was it?
I'm
Fat Rob?
Practice.
Can I be the Fat Rob?
You can be the hype woman.
Okay.
I'm
going
to be Roger Clemens. Just get it over the plate. You have too much velocity. Lob it over the plate.
I'm a rock.
Don't embarrass
right down the middle. Right down the middle.
I think that was your problem. No. Don't lob it in. You got to just go all out. And you know what? You fall. At this point, like,
next time I will have on the right equipment. But it was a choke job. I choked.
Sure was.
Bottom line.
We got to go. Jess, you're the best. We'll be talking to you a lot.